This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Great to be in Florida this year. I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the most interesting election years that we have seen in a Florida midterm in decades.
That's Dr. Susan McManus, a professor of political science at the University of South Florida.
Who controls the U.S. Senate? And of course, Democrats are hanging on for dear life, and Republicans are trying like crazy to win the seat. So it's going to be a multi-million dollar race, and as we know, it's already grabbing national attention.
We discuss some of the hottest races in Florida politics.
This is the most exciting governor's race that we've had in years, in decades.
All that and more coming up on episode 145 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program this week. Many are monitoring the results of the United States taking action Friday night to punish the Syrian regime for a suspected chemical weapons attack a week before. British, French, and American forces launch missiles against three Syrian regime.
I ordered the United States Armed Forces to launch precision strikes on targets associated with the chemical weapons capabilities of Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad.
And without anyone knowing the toll of the strikes, President Trump declared mission accomplished, and then criticized those speaking through the media for wondering what was accomplished. Here's Maine Senator Angus King on State of the Union.
I think it's very difficult to say mission accomplished if the mission is to deter the use of chemical weapons. We hope that will be the case, but we did a strike a year ago for that same purpose, and it was deemed a success, but the chemical weapons have continued to be used. So I think it's impossible to say at this point that the mission has been accomplished.
And Virginia Senator Tim Kaine on Face the Nation.
It's very, very clear. Congress has the power to declare war, and only Congress. So if you're initiating war against a sovereign nation like Syria that hadn't declared war in the United States, it's only Congress that can do it. But this is a president who seemed to understand what the Constitution required when President Obama was in office, but now he thinks he's a king and he can do whatever he wants without Congress.
As for Florida senators, Bill Nelson was quick to support the attack, saying Assad must be held accountable. Marco Rubio also supported the president's actions, but called for a comprehensive strategy to deal with the situation moving forward. Governor-turned-Senate candidate Rick Scott said the strikes were the absolute right thing to do while taking a stab at the Obama administration, saying we must do what previous administration wouldn't. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. So Governor Rick Scott is already dipping into national politics after he announced he's ready to change Washington.
We must change Washington. We will change Washington. Together, let's get Washington to work.
Scott is officially challenging Democratic Senator Bill Nelson for his seat representing Florida. And we're going to discuss this race and more with Dr. Susan McManus, a political science professor at the University of South Florida.
First of all, I think it was assumed that he would announce and was just waiting to when to do it. It would have been real shocking news if he had decided not to run. So the fact that he announced was really not all that unusual. Let's face it, this too is going to be a race of titans. You have two people who have successfully won statewide races in a competitive state like Florida. They understand grassroots politics, both of them. They understand that this is a highly nationalized race, that everything is going to be tied to Washington, whether the candidates like it or not. And you're going to see a lot of money coming into this race from outside the state of Florida, from PACs and from the national parties and so forth, because the stakes are very high. Florida is part of the calculation for who controls the U.S. Senate. And, of course, Democrats are hanging on for dear life, and Republicans are trying like crazy to win the seat. So it's going to be a multi-million dollar race, and as we know, it's already grabbing national attention.
I know the Trump factor, and many people like you are still going to be writing and studying this and trying to pinpoint the impact of the Trump's influence and Governor Scott and his close ties to the president. Will this hurt him, help him? Is it to be seen?
It's really hard to tell what the Trump effect is going to be, but we do know, at least in the short term, we know that Democrats are hoping at every step of the way to tie Governor Scott to Trump, because, of course, there isn't any sort of opposition to the notion or any denial that the two have been very close, Trump and Scott. But it's also true that if you're Senator Nelson and you're campaigning against Governor Scott, having been governor leaves you vulnerable in a way for attacking you if you don't spend money in a way that somebody else thinks should be spent, or you have, you know, changed your position on issues as the legislature has changed and times have changed. So a governor's record, which has a lot of policy elements to it and budgetary elements, is, again, fair game for someone who is running against a governor. On the other side, if you're Governor Scott and you're running against Senator Nelson at a time when a lot of voters are very tired of politics, longevity in office, you certainly go after how long a person's been in office, and you suggest things like congressional term limits, which has been polling positively for years, but you also stick to the economy, where you have been successful in doing what you were said you were going to do, which is creating 700,000 jobs during your tenure, which, of course, PolitiFact recently affirmed. So you stick with your strengths and you go after your opponent's weaknesses. And each of these candidates has some strengths and each of them has some vulnerabilities. And both of them are going to have lots of money to run on.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contributions by visiting rotundapodcast.com.
So, switching to the governor's race, what do you make of how things are shaping up with the candidates? Any surprises so far with those who have declared and are moving forward on the Republican and Democratic side?
This is the most exciting governor's race that we've had in years, in decades. It's been decades since Florida has seen truly highly competitive races, primary races on both sides of the aisle, and you certainly have that this time out. And the stakes are high here on the governor's race as well. Democrats would love to win the governor's seat back. They haven't held it for quite some time. And, of course, Republicans would love to hold on to it. Both parties are looking at the governor's race very, very carefully, because the next governor will have veto power over the congressional redistricting map. So that's very, very important to the parties. But to go to the individual races on the Democratic side, it's a very interesting race, because you have at least three and maybe four key elements of your base that are reflected in the candidates themselves. So, of course, the women's vote, Gwen Graham, for the African-American vote, Andrew Gillum, for the very high turnout and urban vote, but particularly Jewish vote, you have Levine. And then you have a young entrepreneur who reflects the next generation of politics, and certainly the younger portion of the population is a key part of a winning Democratic election. So fascinating there that it's each one reflects a critical element of the Democratic Party base. Very competitive so far. Levine, of course, has spent a lot of money on ads. He's banking on the fact that TV ads are going to be one of the most effective ways of winning, whereas the younger candidates, Andrew Gillum and King, have been making more appearances on the college campuses. And then you have Gwen Graham, who's tackling and using a strategy used by her father, but also is getting now starting to get more attention of the work days. So you have different parts of the base reflected in the Democratic candidates, and you also have each of them adopting a very different way of trying to reach the grassroots and garner enough support to win in the primary. And we have very low primary turnouts typically in Florida. Midterm election primary turnouts in a late one like ours, August 28th, a 25% would be high, a high turnout rate. So it's very interesting. On the Republican side, you have two announced candidates and a third one who's sitting out there expected to run. You have, again, a well-known Adam Putnam, who's served in a lot of different positions in legislature and Congress, and, of course, the Commissioner of Agriculture. And you have Ron DeSantis from the Jacksonville area, who's going all out for television. And he's certainly making hay of the fact that that President Trump has said that he would be a good governor. And he's certainly getting a lot of appearances on Fox News Channel. So he and Levine, in a way, are very similar in using television as a way to quickly garner support, whereas the more traditional grassroots-level personal appearances are being used more by Adam Putnam and Gwen Graham and also Andrew Gillum.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Dr. Susan McManus, a political science professor at the University of South Florida. So there's been talk of a blue wave with the recent announcement from Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, and here in Florida, Congressman Dennis Ross. What does it mean for Republicans and Democrats? Will there be a flip and a wave of Democrats making it into office?
Two things. One is the fact that a lot of Democrats would take heart that it looks like a sure blue wave this year. I think a lot of people are thinking that because it comes on the heels of a lot of other resignations of Republicans across the country. But there's a second school of thought which says that not particularly unusual if you're a person who enjoys legislating and working out compromises and reaching across the aisle, and you're trying to do that and your own party is punishing you and whatever, at some point you say, I've had enough. Congress is broken. I can go back home and I can do better things in my own community. So I think that whole resignation can be looked at in those two different ways.
One of the things that I've been trying to figure out how, like when we looked at the Obama campaign and the rise of President Trump, and what will be different and how it has changed modern day campaigning. So as you just described, we're seeing all of the candidates doing a variety of traditional tactics like Adam Putnam and the younger candidates looking to, like, you know, social media and ads and DeSantis on TV. Anything is it just that everyone is trying everything, or are we seeing more so than the rest? Or should they focus on being more digital on social media with the rise of, when we're looking back to what happened recently on the presidential front?
The biggest challenge this election for every one of these candidates is, what's the best way to mobilize voters? Is it TV? And if so, is it cable or is it broadcast? Is it social media? And does that mean YouTube or does it mean digital ads on other kinds of sites, Facebook, etc.? Or does it really come up to this sort of mailers, a more traditional approach there? And the challenge is really making evident what we knew was coming along and now we're seeing front and center, and that is the rise of the generational schisms in our electorate, because now younger voters are a larger share. You cannot reach them in the same way that you can an older voter, and the same would be true in both parties. So it's really going to be difficult to figure out what percent of your money do you spend on local grassroots people, get out the vote effort, versus online, digital, versus television, local versus broadcast. We do know that one of the big mistakes the Hillary Clinton campaign made, and it's been acknowledged by everyone, was spending way too much money on television and not enough on the grassroots get out the vote efforts. So I think it's a hard calculation. The other thing that's kind of emerging, some of the marketing literature is now suggesting that online ads are really nowhere near as effective as people anticipated they would be. They've done a lot of studies of people and how often do they click onto an ad or how often do they say they've seen it, and it's getting a little bit more difficult even to grab people's attention via online ads. So I think the hardest part for any consultant right now is figuring out what mix should be personal appearances versus the various types of media versus mailers, traditional versus new, but even within the new, nuances there about what works best.
All right. So I think this, I would conclude is just to diversify your assets.
Right. And it looks like that even in the governor's race is going to be one of the, probably the most expensive ever. So when I speak to various politically oriented groups, activists, I always say it's going to be a great election year, but for all of you activists, you better hold on to your wallet because everybody's going to try to get into it. It's just going to be a really expensive election year. And sadly, the candidates running for local races, but particularly for legislative contests, they're the ones that always get shortchanged when you have such high-profile, top-of-the-ticket races like a U.S. Senate race and a governor's race, particularly since each of those races has national consequences.
All right. Well, we talked for an extended time, and it's always great to talk with you. Dr. McManus, how can people find out more about your work and to follow you on social media?
Well, I'm a columnist on safetyreview.com, so I post things every so often when I see something interesting. They're usually very data-based. And I also am on Twitter, and my handle is Dr. McManus. That's D-R, no period, McManus, M-A-C. Capital M-A-N-U-S. Twitter and Safety are the two best ways to see my stuff.
All right. Well, Dr. McManus, thank you again for taking this time to join me here on the program, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program by suggesting topics or a generous donation. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.